payments. BBC News.
James Naughtie and readers talked to the American writer and artist Art Spiegelman about his graphic novel Mouse, which has sold over 2 million copies worldwide. Part of the success of the book is Art's portrayal of the characters as animals. It tells the story of his parents from their first meeting to their survival of the concentration camps. Book club in an hour's time. First on Radio 4, our classic serial, a brand new adaptation of a powerful piece of 18th century literature. Arthur Darvill stars in this earthy, visceral and sometimes disturbing satire on human nature.
Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. Adapted for radio by Matthew Broughton. Episode 1. The Voyage to Lilliput. We live in an age of cynicism, and yet there is so much in this world that can still surprise us. Please, put your doubts to one side and listen, without judgment. These events concerning Dr. Gulliver are honestly told. This is a true story.
Come on, boy.
My name is Richard Simpson.
Come on.
And I'm a publisher in London. To be frank, my company is small and modest. We have integrity, but the titles we produce have always been humble and run-of-the-mill. That changed after I received a letter from Dr. Gulliver. I hadn't met him, but he's a distant cousin on my mother's side. Perhaps that is why he chose me. It was a cold, raven-black night in that remote village, and I was late.
I have my invitation.
You're late, so follow me.
I knew only four facts about Dr. Gulliver. Fact one, his character. Gulliver had had a reputation for being a sociable, amusing, honest man. Fact two, travelling as a ship surgeon, Gulliver had been abroad for some years. He'd seen many remote and exotic parts of the world, some of them extremely remote. Fact three, since returning, he had not left Redriff. For 6 months, Gulliver had been living a reclusive life, shunning the outside world. He was served only by a handful of loyal and protective servants. And four, tales of Gulliver's voyages were rife. Rumours abounded of strange creatures and magical lands. His servants were discreet, but stories leaked out of Redriff. Word was that whatever he had seen abroad had changed him in the most profound and disturbing of ways. Only Gulliver knew the truth of these matters. And he had spoken to no one. Until now. What are those noises?
Mice. This way, sir.
Redriff was cold, dimly lit, and smelt of damp, like wet hay. Are Dr. Gulliver's wife and children here?
Not anymore, sir.
Is Dr. Gulliver ready for me?
He knows you're here. This way.
The servant showed me into a room heavy with books.
Sit here. My master requires you to listen.
To listen?
To the machine, sir.
There was a cylindrical object on the table before me. Its skeleton covered with a taut, translucent skin. And through this I could see a drum wheel with pointed metal needles. It was unlike anything I had ever seen before.
The master was given this many years ago on a voyage.
the servant manipulated a silver lever. The drum turned. The needles moved in and out. And then...
In England, the greatest country in the world, we are ruled by crown and government...
What is this? This voice, how can it be?
It is the master. Recorded. There.
His voice?
Yes, sir.
I leant closer to the machine. This, I tell you, is how I heard the story of Gulliver's travels. For the first time.
On May the 4th, 1699,
I left my wife and children to embark on a voyage.
Be careful, and don't forget me.
Mary, how could I forget the woman I love?
The ship was the Antelope. It's Captain William Pritchard. I was employed as doctor. We set sail from Bristol. Our voyage was to the South Seas.
The tide is with us! Keep her steady!
And at first, all was well.
How goes it, Gulliver?
Oh, I think the brandy I had with lunch may have been a mistake.
Good man! Oh.
But that didn't last.
There's a man vomiting and turned green in the crew, Dr. Gulliver.
By the 5th of November, 12 of the crew were dead, and the rest were very weak with sickness.
How are the men, Doctor?
Good.
Apart from all the dying.
I can smell a storm coming. What do you think?
This is the East Indies. There'll be no storm, Captain.
Bring in the sail!
A rock!
Run! In half a cable!
Turn the wheel there!
She won't take it!
Lower the ball!
Careful, Captain! Careful!
What's that, Dr. Gunner?
What happened to the captain?
He's gone overboard, but I'm sure he'll be fine.
The captain was never seen again, and the Antelope was sinking. A rowboat was lowered. 5 others joined me in it.
The others! It's too late for them. The ship will take us down with her. Keep stopping!
But the storm wouldn't calm. Soon we were overset. I swam, pushed onwards by wind and tide. How many hours passed? I can't say. But when I felt I could swim no more, by luck, I found myself in my depth. It took an hour to reach land. Beyond the sand, there was grass. Short and soft. I slept sounder than ever I have done in my life.
Is that... what? Hey!
My arms and legs had been strongly fastened to the ground using small pegs and cord. My hair, that is long and thick, was fastened in the same way. I tried to break free. I felt something on my leg.
What is that?
It moved onto my belly quickly. Then my breast, until it was standing next to my chin. It was a human, less than 6 inches high, staring at me, a bow and arrow in his hands.
Am
I still asleep?
40 more followed the first, swarming up my body. All armed.
Get away!
My shouting threw them backward. I saw that there were hundreds of these tiny people. I struggled harder and snapped the strings on my left arm. My hand loose, I wanted to flatten these human creatures. The arrows pricked like hundreds of needles. They shot flights in the air, as we do with bombs in Europe. Some into my hand, others my body, some onto my face. They pushed spears into my sides, but couldn't pierce my buff jerkin.
That's enough! I give up!
It seemed prudent to lie still.
Kolak and Fonak!
I said I surrender! I'll play fair!
Is it impossible? Is it impossible?
They retreated and watched me, arrows poised. I closed my eyes. They were building something. The fastenings were loosened so I could turn my head. It was a platform.
Langro Enpo Dehulsan.
A bearded old man, the size of my middle finger, was standing on it.
Quimbus Flestrin.
Ah, you look like you're in charge. Let's sort this out.
Gombas Mama and Lame Girdle. Peplum Salker Fergo. Quimbus Flestrin.
I don't understand. I just want to go home.
Din compass?
No, din compass.
Yes. It's a funny pickle, isn't it? I'm sure we'll all do the right thing. And talking of pickle, I didn't eat last night. I need food. Food!
Food arrived quickly, ladders positioned to deliver it. And they brought meat shaped like mutton, but smaller than a lark's wing.
Very tasty.
I ate two or three at a time, and three loaves at a time too, about the bigness of musket bullets. They supplied me fast, astonished at my appetite. Four struggled to bring a hogshead barrel. I beat out the top and used it like a cup. It contained a small wine, like a burgundy.
Another, please! And a third, if you can manage it. And more bread. And meat.
Some danced on my chest for wonder. I was tempted to seize 50 of them and dash them on the ground, but remembered the arrows. Probably not the worst they could do. The orator made me understand I was to be conveyed to the city as their prisoner, but I had a more urgent need. Quickly understood.
It's the wine, I'm afraid.
Peplum foot salam.
Cords on my side were relaxed. I turned and eased myself with making water. Some ran to avoid the torrent. A sleeping potion had been mixed into my wine. And while I slept, I was taken onto a truck
and transported towards the city. The king, queen, and court came out to meet me. Tied to the truck, I had to greet them on my back.
I would stand up, but...
Mundro, Igliliput.
Mundro, Quinbus Flestri.
Your majesties.
The king had a limp, but seemed nice. The queen was glamorous, elegant, and 4 inches high. 100,000 of their curious subjects came out to see me too. Following the royal carriage, I was taken through the city to an ancient temple, the largest in the kingdom, where I was to lodge. Its magnificent and ornate gate was 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. Royal smiths had prepared chains and padlocks which were locked to my leg, but when it was fixed, all I wanted to do was stand up.
My knees!
My joints were stiff after hours, tied down on my back. The horses and children were particularly afraid. But I could see across the whole of the country. Lilliput, they called it. And what a sight it was. I saw towns like painted scenes from a model theatre. Patches of woodland. I saw tiny houses with tiny windows and tiny faces at those windows in tiny rooms. Dogs the size of spiders. Sheep the size of mice. Horses the size of rats. Ponds the size of puddles. And ducks the size of flies. This was Lilliput. The royal family observed me from the tallest turret nearby, some 5 feet in height. Amazement on their faces.
A beautiful country you have, your majesties.
I bowed. And just then, very suddenly, I felt extremely... pressed by the necessities of nature.
Right.
It was 2 days since I had last disburthened myself.
Excuse me, your majesties.
I crept into my... house, went as far as my chain would let me, and discharged my body of that uneasy load.
Nimluda Snodpushel!
Lon Tripludos.
When my adventure was at an end, I came back out, having occasion for fresh air.
I'd leave that 5 minutes. Can we talk about my freedom?
Lon! Teglos!
Teglos!
The royals made their excuses and left. But I had arrived. And in the weeks that followed, I made every effort to become acquainted with the city, its most important people, and to learn their language, which I did very quickly.
I think we should kill him.
Why, Skyresh?
Economics, your majesty. A beast that size consumes at great expense and eats so much he may cause famine.
How would we kill him?
Starve him, your majesty.
But, Skyresh, that's barbaric!
Or shoot him in the face with poison darts.
If he broke loose, lives could be lost.
We can't execute a man for what he might do.
Should he be killed, Flimnap?
In a word, your majesty, not yet.
Why not?
A rotting carcass that large would cause a stench and produce a disease. Perhaps even a plague.
Mm. He makes a stench already. He's unclean.
The queen found that incident deeply unpleasant.
Gulliver longs for his freedom.
He does desire it, Majesty.
But he's a monster.
A complicated question.
Pragmatically, your Majesty.
Yes?
A man that size is useful to us.
How so?
Against our enemies, he means.
Oh. Useful. Yes, he is very big, isn't he?
Yes.
How did it go, Reldrazol?
As I promised, I spoke for you, and the news is good, Gulliver. Your chain is coming off.
Freedom! You are a true friend. How can I thank you enough?
Your happiness is my pleasure.
There were conditions, but at last I was released.
May I stretch my legs? Walk?
Of course.
I won't step on anyone.
Don't be too long. We wish to show you all aspects of Lilliputian life, beginning with our government.
Of course.
I intended to leave Lilliput immediately. I stepped over the city wall and made for the biggest mountain. From up there, I surveyed the country for means of departure. I saw that Lilliput was a small island, and even the biggest ships in the largest ports were too tiny to accommodate my size. Surrounding Lilliput was a vast expanse of clear water, just one other tiny rocky island nearby. I realized the impossibility of my leaving. To swim would be suicide. I was stranded. Like it or not, Lilliput was now my home. I had no choice but to immerse myself in native life.
This is our seat of government, Gulliver.
I laid outside the building to look in through the window.
Today we're selecting candidates for office.
It involved a string extended about 2 feet from the ground.
The dance of the rope.
Do all the candidates balance on it, Flimnap?
All prospective ministers, yes. The highest jumper prevails. Do your ministers bounce on ropes?
No, not quite. We have something called hustings.
Oh.
What is your office, Flimnap?
Treasury.
How's the economy?
Well, would you like to see me rope dance?
Yes.
There, 7 inches. Oh, yes, 8. Indeed, 9. Oh, there'll be no talk of recession in the mice, Stewardship. There, 10 inches. Impressive, aren't I?
Let anyone in here nowadays, do they?
Good afternoon, Skyrash.
Admiral Bo Golan to you, Man Mountain.
He'll never like me.
No one has to like you, Gulliver. Earn respect by bouncing!
I was too big to do this bouncing, and not entirely convinced it was the right way to run a country. Next, I was taken to the courts of law to learn about their legal system.
The crime is fraud. The verdict, guilty. The punishment, execution.
You're very tough on crime here.
And the causes of crime. All crimes against the state are punished with death.
What? Always?
But if the person is proved innocent, his accuser is put to death. All good behaviour is rewarded periodically.
Our laws are enforced only by penalties.
Oh, how unenlightened.
Our mathematicians say you eat an equivalent diet to 1,728 Lilliputians each day.
I am a burden.
You're a population spike, my dear fellow. But we'll cope. Now, other business. A great black substance has been discovered lying on the beach near where you were found.
Oh?
Oddly shaped. Its edge wide as a bedchamber, rising in the middle as high as a man and hollow underneath. Our men are circling it.
It might be my hat.
I'll put it down as probably safe. We've compiled an inventory of the items in your pockets. There's a few we don't understand. The engine that goes bish, bish,
bish.
Ah, my fob watch.
That. The stinking wet grass?
Tobacco.
Of course. The hollow pillars of iron with machine and metal orbs.
My pistol.
The alarming dust in the silver suitcase.
Ah, that's snuff.
Ah. Now, the life-size portrait of the lady we guess to be your wife and the other little ones we think we can work out. You look a little melancholy, Gulliver.
Hmm? No. Thinking about home.
Here's home now. Isn't it? Eh?
Some make it plain I'm not wanted. And I miss the embrace of my wife.
Ah. Can't help there. But, extend a finger.
Like this?
Only a gesture, you understand?
Oh, you are kind, Reldrazel. It humbles me that so busy and important a man is interested in me.
I always have time for a friend. So do not fear your enemies. You have my protection, I promise. And that enables protection from the crown, also.
I will repay you one day.
I visited the queen, who was attended by her handmaids.
My husband insists we're acquainted.
A great honor, your majesty.
Indeed.
I'm pleased we're friends after the, Right. After I...
Friends. Yes. Friends. Quite. Anyway, the king and I have decided to give you leave to chop down 3 of the largest trees in the royal park. To build yourself a chair and table. We must be civilized, mustn't we?
It will help me to entertain.
I received many guests and was known throughout society.
100 tailors, each with 3 seamstresses, will make you a new shirt. A gift from the palace.
Majesty, you are kindness itself.
Yes, I am.
I learned Lilliputian mores and dances, laws and moralities, politics and policies, architecture and agriculture, customs and habits, dishes and tailoring, and began to understand this organised, pretty, quaint, odd, tidy, remarkable little country. And then came the day of the ceremony marking my citizenship.
Most mighty king, terror of the universe, whose territories extend 5,000 blustrugs to the extremities of the globe,
12 miles in circumference,
proposes to the man mountain,
me,
the following article,
the conditions of my freedom.
He will take care not to trample upon our loving subjects and their property, nor take anyone into his hands without their consent.
I agree.
He will assist workmen in the construction and repair of royal buildings.
I agree.
And he shall be our ally against our enemies on the island of Blefuscu.
Sorry?
Ah, he hesitates.
A Lilliputian shares the enemies of Lilliput, Gulliver.
He shall be our ally against our enemies on the island of Blefuscu.
It's okay, Gulliver, I assure you.
Of course. I agree to be an ally against our enemies.
Upon swearing this solemn oath, the Man Mountain shall have daily allowance of meat and drink, access to the royal person, and other marks of favour.
I swear to abide by the articles.
That night, my good friend Reldrazel visited me in private.
We're at war.
Are we? Oh, the Blefuscu thing.
It's complicated. You see, there are two political parties in Lilliput, the Tremexans and the Slemexans. The Tremexans are traditionalists who adhere to our ancient constitution. They wear high heels. The Slemexans are modernizers and wear low heels.
No one told me about this.
The low heels currently have power. The king is a Slemexan, as am I, of course, and he employs only low heels in government. But beyond government, the Tremexans outnumber us. Have you noticed anything unusual about the king?
No. Ah, well, he limps.
He wears one shoe higher than the other, an attempt to maintain a coalition of peace.
He limps to maintain harmony.
Hobbles.
It must be uncomfortable.
Enormously. A sacrifice.
What has this got to do with a war?
The island of Blefuscu is the other great empire of the universe.
Why are we at war with them?
Eggs.
Eggs.
Eggs. In olden times, everyone broke their eggs at the big end. But some years ago, the current king's grandfather, a Slemexan, who back then was still on the throne, cut himself on an egg while breaking the big end. So he published an edict that all eggs should be broken from the small end. Tremexans resented this new law. They wanted to adhere to the tradition of breaking the big end. 6 bloody rebellions have been raised on this account. Rebellions stirred up by the monarchs of Blefuscu. Big Endian exiles flee to that empire for refuge.
An egg war?
More than 11,000 persons have suffered death rather than submit to breaking their eggs at the small end.
I'm sorry.
During this war, we have lost 40 capital ships, a huge number of smaller vessels, and 30,000 of our best seamen and soldiers. The enemy has similar losses.
Well, what a mess.
And now, Blefuscu have equipped a fleet that will descend upon us. And will kill us all. We thought you should know.
Yes. Yes, I understand.
The politics were of small minds, but the effects devastating.
You know why I limp, Gulliver?
I do, Your Majesty.
Leadership. It's hard to please everyone. Sometimes impossible.
Yes.
People like you and I, Gulliver, need to be part of a supportive community. We need society. It's a big thing, society. And it can help us if we help it.
Not sure I follow, sir.
I'm a Lilliputian. And you're a Lilliputian too now. The enemy is at our door. We must defend ourselves. But how, Gulliver?
Take action, Majesty.
Are you ready to make a sacrifice for our society, Gulliver?
The channel between Lilliput and Blefuscu was 800 yards and 6 feet down at the deepest point.
They have a fleet of 50 men of war. They outdo us greatly.
Yes, I can see them.
What do you need? Ships? Men?
50 bars of iron, this big, and the strongest cable.
What's your plan?
My plan is my affair, Skyresh.
Tell me, or I'll kick your rear end until it's blue.
With your little boots? That would take several years.
I twisted the iron bars into hooks and attached each one to a cable. It didn't take long to swim to Blefuscu. The fleet was in port. The enemy was so frightened they jumped from their ships and swam for shore in their thousands. I attach the hooks to the prow of each ship. My spectacles protected my eyes, my buff jerkin my body. I took 200 shots in the hands and face. When I'd secured the hooks, I tied the cables together at the end and pulled.
No sign?
No, Majesty. Hang on.
What is it?
The enemy fleet heading this way. Attack speed.
The invasion begins.
Give me that glass.
Time to get you to safety, Majesty.
Wait. In the water. Before the ships.
Is it a head?
Gulliver! Pulling their whole fleet with him.
You what?
He's done it!
Long live the king!
Brilliant, Gulliver! You must be exhausted.
I am, Reldrazel.
10 hogsheads of your favourite wine have been sent to your home, dear Gulliver. And I confer upon you the highest title I can. From today forth, you are a Nardak.
Oh, your Majesty.
Congratulations, Man Mountain.
It was my duty as a Lilliputian.
Your Majesty, there are the other questions to be considered. Of course. May I speak with you privately, Gulliver?
Something wrong, sir?
We'd like you to return to Blefuscu and finish the job. Our enemy must be enslaved or executed.
Sir? Is that really necessary?
The whole universe will break the small ends of their edge.
The Lilliput is safe, Your Majesty.
You have a duty to obey me.
The Blefuscans have suffered enough.
Today, Gulliver, you are a hero. But do not dare slight me.
Of so little weight are the greatest services to princes. My opinion of the king had shrunk.
Gulliver, allow me to introduce the ambassador from Blefuscu.
It's an honour, sir.
The honour is mine.
The ambassador has been signing a peace treaty with our king.
We love peace in Blefuscu, but I had to meet the famous Gulliver.
Would you like to come in for some tea?
Thank you. My emperor says come to Blefuscu. Have a holiday.
I'd have to ask leave of my king.
You're a Nardak, Gulliver. You have the right to travel.
You're powerful now, Gulliver.
So is this wine.
You drink enough to kill 1,000 cows.
You're my closest friend, Reldrazel. But I don't think the king likes me.
No!
True.
Oh, he'll come round. Next time you do him a favour, he'll flip-flop.
You think?
You do amazing things, Gully. People admire that. I admire it.
I'd pat you on the back for saying that, but I'd probably kill you. Come in.
Dr. Gulliver.
No, what is it, boy?
Fire, sir. Fire at the palace.
What happened?
The Queen's chambers. Help us with the buckets. The
thimbles of water won't put this out.
I'll lose everything.
Bloody handmaid fell asleep with a candle.
There is something I could do.
Anything to put it out.
The wine that night worked as a diuretic.
Excuse this little tinkle.
Oh! Oh! It's splashing on me!
This way, Your Majesty. That's too much.
By means of urine, I extinguished the fire in minutes, saving the ancient buildings.
That's got it! There you go! Cheerio!
No, I didn't wait for thanks. It was late. We were all tired.
He did a wee on me. And we'll never get the smell out of the curtains! I will never use these buildings again. Never!
Sir, this time the Man Mountain has gone too far. Assemble the committee.
After my heroic hosing of the palace, I was contacted in secret by the Lord Hergo. We met outside the city in the early hours.
Wait here, coachman.
Lord Hergo, I am honored.
Let us forego pleasantries. Lift me up, Galivert. We need privacy.
He stepped into my hand, and I moved out of earshot of the driver. Lit by the moon, we spoke face to face.
I am not here, Galivert.
Aren't you?
And never was. Understood?
Of course.
This is a matter concerning your honour and your life.
My life?
I never made it to high office, Galivert. Was never much of a rope jumper. But I have seen how it corrupts men.
What do you mean, my life?
A committee of council was lately called in private on your account. Flimnap, Skyresh Bogolam, Reldrassal, and the King were present. Resolutions were made.
But I'm a national hero.
Skyresh Bolgolam drew up articles to impeach you.
For what?
Gulliver's insolence insults my throne.
His behaviour is treasonous, Majesty.
Article 1. He maliciously discharged his urine inside the royal palace.
High treason, Flimnap?
Indeed, Majesty.
Article 2. When commanded to return to Blefuscu and put to death all Big Endian exiles, he refused.
Flimnap?
High treason, sir.
Article 3. He admired, complimented, and made tea for the ambassador of Blefuscu, lately an open enemy of His Imperial Majesty.
Made tea? And now plans a visit to that country? To form an allegiance, perhaps?
An event that would be dangerous to state security.
You're quiet, Reldrassal.
Well, Reldrassal, he's your friend.
These articles represent facts. I cannot deny them.
Reldrassal said that.
Verbatim.
But I put out the flames. I met the ambassador in politeness. And the war is over.
Skyresh and Flimnap demanded your death.
Well, then I'm thankful that Reldrassal was there to fight my corner.
Before execution, a gradual lessening of his food will make him weak and reduce his bulk. He'll die half diminished. His carcass less liable to stench.
After death, we'll hack the flesh from his bones, take it by cart, and bury it far away to prevent infection.
Leaving the skeleton as a monument for posterity.
Reldrassal?
Listen, if we lessen his rations, he'll notice.
But you agree that his actions need punishment by execution.
Of course, he has committed treason.
Then we'll shoot him with poison arrows and set fire to his house.
If I may, gentlemen, there is another way.
I don't understand. Was Reldrassal playing a bluff on my behalf?
I am sorry, Gulliver.
Gulliver trusts me and follows my counsel. Let's use that trust. I'll present the articles of impeachment to him with a verdict that I've persuaded this committee to be merciful. I'll tell him that we've decided that his punishment will only be to put out his eyes.
His eyes?
It's not enough.
He'll continue his big Endian endeavors without eyes.
Don't waste my time, Reldrassel.
Please, let me finish, Your Majesty. It will, of course, be a half-truth. We will put out his eyes, but that will only be the beginning of his punishment.
Carry on.
Without sight, he'll be disorientated and easier to starve. When his body is diminished, it will be simpler to execute him. Thereafter, we'll remove his dead flesh, as Skyresh excellently suggests.
A subterfuge! I like it!
Very neat.
Very good, Reldrassel. There's reward for this.
I know where my loyalties lie, sir.
Indeed. Did you get all that down, Hergo?
Yes, Your Majesty.
They've employed a surgeon who will discharge sharp arrows into the balls of your eyes while you lay on the ground.
To control me, so that my life may be terminated.
That is their plan.
Endorsed by my best friend.
He is not your friend, Gulliver. He is a politician. Oh. Put me down.
What do I do?
I cannot tell you that. Coachman!
How do I know that I can trust you, Hergo? It's hard to believe.
I gain nothing from this. Believe what you will. But if Reldrassel comes to you with articles of impeachment, saying he's persuaded the committee to show you mercy...
I don't want to lose my eyes, let alone my life.
Good luck. And remember, I was never here. Let's go.
Lord Hergo was a fine man, but did he have a game to play of his own? Who could I trust? Anyone? No one. My dear Reldrassel, a betrayer. He had done so much for me. It was unthinkable. I waited to see if he would come.
Gully! It's a friend!
May I get you a drink? Reldrassel.
Need one yourself, Gully. A committee has met at court.
He outlined the articles I'd already heard from Hergo.
But I fought for you.
I knew you would.
They demanded your immediate execution. I pleaded your case.
And?
You will not be put to death.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh. Thank you.
Yeah. There is... some bad news. The best compromise I could reach. Your eyes are to be put out.
My eyes?
I meant nothing to him.
Now, you must see the positive in this. Sorry, poor choice of words, perhaps, Gully. But it could have been a lot worse. There's not much to see these days, anyway.
I'll present myself in the morning for my punishment.
See it as a reprieve. I'll make sure the procedure is executed as cleanly as possible. Drive up!
Bastard! In the early hours, while the city slept, I crept down to the coast and swam to Blefuscu. I woke on their beach. And a welcoming party had gathered, including the Empress herself.
Lefushka welcomes you with open arms.
I am glad to be here.
We have a gift for you. We found it on the beach. Comes this way.
What is it?
We don't know. It's been here for years.
It was broken and rotten. But it was a rowboat. From Europe. My size.
What did I say? It's a massive rowboat! Yeah. Well, it's yours, Gulliver. Now, you hungry? Come to the palace. We prepared a feast.
Oh.
Oh, I've fallen foul of Lilliputian law.
Oh, Zatlet. I'm tight. I don't like all that politics. How you eat an egg is your business. Personally, I don't think the state should get involved. Stick it up your nose. Whatever. Who cares? You agree, don't you, Gulliver?
I do, Empress.
I don't even like eggs. Let us have eggs. I like tomatoes. Hey, bring us some tomatoes.
I was treated with respect, entertained, and shown the country. I had been there a week when the Empress pulled me to one side.
He's from Lilliput. The letter says you're a traitor. They want me to send you back. You know what that would mean.
I'm not going back.
But if I don't do it...
they'll attack you.
I could say you've gone missing.
They have spies. And I'm very big.
I'm not a son of a bitch, Gulliver. Would you like to fight for us? Get our ships back?
I just... want to go home to my wife.
Can we help?
That rowboat.
Yeah. I'll give you 200 men to work on it. I'll try to buy time, but they will come for you soon.
I worked hard repairing the boat, assisted by the Empress's carpenters. 1,000 seamstresses made me a sail, but it was far from ready when word got out that the Lilliputian fleet were on the move.
The fleet will be here in less than a quarter of an hour, ma'am.
Now or never, Gulliver. Do you know where you're going?
I'm indebted to you, Empress.
Take these. And water. You'll need supplies as well as luck.
As I left, I heard the Lilliputians engage the Blefuscans in battle. They killed each other over eggs, chose leaders by jumping rope, betrayed their friends and loyal subjects for political expediency, and were now fighting over a giant who was running away. I sailed south-south-east, wanting my home more than ever, longing for the arms of my beautiful wife. For days I was lost at sea. Food enough, but water nearly finished. Then, when all seemed lost...
Where are you going, Captain?
Trading in the Indies, then directly back to England.
Oh!
He was Captain John Biddle of Belfast. I told him some of my story.
This Lilliput is not on our maps. Was the king a good man? Were you treated well?
Never again will I have confidence in kings, ministers, secretaries, or politicians. Never.
Steady on, old chap.
The journey back wasn't remarkable. Going home is often faster than going. Within 3 months, my feet were on English soil again.
We've missed you so much, darling.
Me too. Oh, Mary.
My wife was as warm and loving as any man could hope for. My children's smiles sent from heaven.
I was home.
Are you quite well, Mr. Simpson?
Like a fairy tale. It can't be true, can it?
The master sold his miniature livestock at great profit.
Now the animals are all gone, then?
Not all.
That is truly remarkable. And there's another voyage to hear.
If you're sure you want to hear it. It is darker.
Oh, yes. I want to hear it.
On my next adventure, I came face to face with the most monstrous horrors imaginable.
In episode 1, Gulliver was played by Arthur Darville. Richard Simpson and Reldrassol were played by Matthew Gravel. Skyresh Bolgolam and Hergo by Sam Dale. Flimnap by Richard Nichols. The King of Lilliput by Chris Pavlow. The Queen of Lilliput by Judith Faultless. And Mary by Beth Ann Walker. Other parts were played by members of the company. Gulliver's Travels was adapted by Matthew Broughton. It was directed by Sam Hoyle and is a BBC Cymru Wales production.
After the news, American writer and artist Art Spiegelman is the subject of the book club with James Naughtie, where they'll look at his graphic novel Mouse, which has sold over 2 million copies worldwide.
Besides being a best-selling novelist, Alexander McCall Smith is also a highly regarded expert on medical law and bioethics.
The author of the number one ladies' detective agency.
In most of my books, behind rather straightforward events, there's some sort of issue or problem with a moral dimension.
In a new series of One to One, Bridget Kendall talks to people famous in one field, expert in another.
Really, we have to teach children manners. Once you start to weaken those, then you really, really are in trouble with the big things.
One to One on BBC Radio 4, this Tuesday morning at 9:30.